Thank you so much for coming here today to hear from Diane Rowland and Claudia on this really just fantastic study that they've done, you know, the 5 years, New Orleans 5 years after the storm, a new disaster amid recovery. I am, you know, we're honored to be able to host this roundtable and hear about this study. This is the kind of, if you follow these issues in New Orleans and Katrina recovery, this will be a study that people are going to be talking about and citing for quite some time to come.
Why have we done this, and what brought us to New Orleans, I think is a question that many have asked. And actually, we had a commitment to New Orleans long before Hurricane Katrina, so this is an ongoing part of our commitment to that region. And that led us to say, well, what do we as a foundation, what can we do? How can we help? And we decided that the best way for the Kaiser Family Foundation to engage was not, we don't do big development grants, we don't do other things, was to use the skills we already had and apply them. So we put together a double initiative. The first half of it was health policy, which we're pretty strong at and pretty knowledgeable about. But second, we also are very well known for the polling work we do and the survey work we do and the work we do through focus groups to try and bring the voices of the people to the policy process. And as we talked more and more about what to do, we thought, well, maybe one of the things we could do is try to do a survey of the Katrina disaster area, try to find out who'd returned, what their life was like, what kind of challenges they had. And I think that this survey has really helped to fill a void. It has brought some of the voices of the people, their concerns, their measure of progress to the table. Without further ado, I'll turn to our polling and survey maven. So I present to you Claudia Dean.
Thank you. Three of the questions that we're most commonly asked about what New Orleans looks like today. And so this is the racial makeup of the city. And again, just to remind you, we're talking about not Greater New Orleans, but Orleans Parish. And so what you can see was that the last census measurement right before the storm found the city was 60% African-American, a majority black city, and that is still true, as according to our survey. It does not look particularly different. The other thing people ask is, so are the people who are there now the people who were there before? And we find, to a large extent, the answer is yes. 9 in 10 people told us that they lived in New Orleans at the time of the storm. Who are the new folks? To the extent that they're different from the people there before, we're finding them to be somewhat younger. Not too surprising, right? People who are mobile. Somewhat more educated, more likely to be renters, disproportionately white compared to the population of the city as it stands. The other thing that you have to note when you're looking at opinion in New Orleans and what happened in that city was that even before the storm, of course, it was disproportionately a low-income city, right? It's one of our poorer cities. And you can see that still. I'll ask you to focus on the pie on the left for the moment. This is just looking at income. And what you can see is that half the people in the parish right now would be considered low income. That would be less than 200% the federal poverty level. And if you start looking at the pies on the right, you'll see this differs greatly by race. And so the situation there, we're going to talk a lot, one of the themes will be sort of differences in opinion by race in New Orleans. And you'll see a lot of that stemming from just a different financial situation. So what we've been looking for is change. And what we found is mostly the change we found in this survey, our third installment, mostly going in an optimistic direction. Now, a lot of times the baseline you were starting from was low. So even if you're seeing a positive movement, you might not see overwhelming optimism. But in this case, you do. To turn to the sort of darker side of the survey, or the less optimistic findings, 6 in 10 say, no, we don't think the city's mostly recovered. And 7 in 10, it's a longer question, but to shorthand it, 7 in 10 say that they don't think the Americans remember them. Right, so they feel fairly forgotten. The things they also were giving the city good marks for were repairing the levees. This is, you know, more than half, I'd say, positive. Making public transportation more available, rebuilding destroyed neighborhoods, and even strengthening the public school system, which changed a lot after Katrina, became much more charter school focused. The biggest jump here, I think, in fact, the biggest jump in any of these measures was in terms of rebuilding destroyed neighborhoods, which every time we've asked this survey, sort of doubled the number of people who said they saw progress. And then the worst marks, and the only one where you actually saw a majority saying that they didn't think we were making progress, was on public safety. So clearly a sore point, and that has been true in each of the surveys we've done. And when we ask folks in their own words to just say what the most single biggest problem facing the city, it was overwhelmingly crime. And I mean, this is crime was a problem before the storm, and it continues to be one.
So the takeaway from all of our work and our studies and the complicated methodology is that the city clearly is not fully back yet, but it is moving in the right direction. The oil spill has put new concerns on the table, but crime continues to be one of the challenges that needs to be met first. With racial tensions moderating, there's still a continued need for federal assistance to help in the rebuilding effort, and there's a long way to go to bring the healthcare system from what it was as an antiquated and out-of-date system before Katrina to the modern available system that everyone wants to see in the city so that the healthcare needs can be met. And how health reform will play out in the city will really depend on whether the administration that Governor Jindal has is able to really put together coverage for the lowest income population and continue to maintain these clinics so that they can be there in 2014 when full coverage kicks in.